What are the returns? What is my profit? Then you think about, well, what am I actually investing in? What are the intricacies? And so it's easy to get caught up in that. But the more you invest, the more that experience matters. And that's why it's really important to know who you're investing with, for example.
Welcome to the Physicians and Properties Podcast, the show where we teach you how investing in real estate can give you the freedom to practice medicine and live life how you want.
Doctor.
Now, here's your host, Dr. Alex Schlow.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Physicians and Properties Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Alex Schlow. Today, we had Dr. Cherry Chin on the podcast. It was incredible. Not only is she a brilliant internal medicine physician, but she has a ton of experience with commercial real estate investments across multifamily, self-storage, manufactured home parks, and medical office buildings, as well as experience being a limited passive investor. So she has a wide breadth of knowledge for any physician who's looking to get into investing in real estate. She's also raised private equity capital through the Real Estate Physician, which she founded in 2018 to empower her physician colleagues in commercial real estate investments and get them involved and get them brought in on the journey of commercial real estate investments. We dive into the basics of commercial real estate and some more nitty gritty as well. And we also talk about what you should look for in an operator if you're interested in investing in one of these commercial properties. Dr. Chin was a wealth of information, and we're so glad that we had her on the show. So if you gained something from this episode, do us a favor. Go ahead and share it with one of your friends. We greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get to the episode. Awesome. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Physicians and Properties. Today, we have with us Dr. Cherry Chin. It's going to be a great episode. Dr. Chin, how are you doing?
I'm good, Alex. Thanks for having me on. And I'm really looking forward to sharing with your audience. And hopefully, we can discuss more about syndications and learn from each other.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know a whole lot about syndications, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners do not as well. And so, I think this will be a really great episode and a good introduction into syndications. And you have a really interesting and exciting story too that'll be awesome to dive into. If you don't mind, we'll just get right to it and get started. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and kind of your journey into medicine?
Yeah, I am from the DFW area. I live in Dallas, Texas. So I did most of my schooling here. I went to A&M for medical school and then did my internal medicine residency in Portland at OHSU. Now I'm back in Dallas where family is, and I consider that home base. I practice as an internal medicine hospitalist now going on 7-8 years. That's my medical background. I still practice, but actually this year is the first time I get to take a little time off from being full-time and work fewer shifts.
That's awesome. How are you able to work fewer shifts?
I started investing into real estate about 6-7 years ago. And so that's definitely been a big part of the reason why. And I mostly invest through syndication, passive real estate, and happy to go into that into further detail. There's so many doctors out there doing all sorts of different kinds of investing now. That is the one I chose for myself after learning about, you know, what benefits or limitations there would be. And obviously, I didn't know everything from the beginning by any means, but that's the route I chose and very happy with it. Really fits me personally and happy to share with other physicians so that they can know what's out there. Kind of what you said, you don't know much about syndications, and I honestly knew nothing. Frankly, I never even heard of the words. I know there's many other docs just like that still, even though now it's more prevalent. I do my part in just sharing with other docs what syndications may be about.
Yeah, really appreciate that. I think we talked about this a little bit off camera. We get a lot of education from a medical perspective and tons of training and all these years of undergrad and med school and residency, but we really don't get any financial education, or at least I didn't at my medical school and residency. And so I think it's awesome what you're doing and your willingness to come on here. Before we jump into syndications in particular, what got you interested in real estate investing?
Yeah, honestly, I would say everyone's journey is different. And for me, certainly, I was working as an attending for right after 1 year or so. I was invested into my 401k like most of us are, but that's really all I knew. I literally had no knowledge beyond that. Didn't even know what my 401k was there for, honestly. But I was just curious, being an internist, and really just started asking myself questions, meaning, hey, is there anything else I can invest besides my 401k? I know stocks, and but I didn't know anything about bonds even. I didn't even know if I was invested into bonds through my 401k. And I think most of us intuitively understand real estate. It wasn't that I was looking to diversify into real estate. I was just purely asking, is there anything else I can invest into and start with real estate? Because we've all lived in an apartment or home growing up or rented through residency or training. So I think we all intuitively understand real estate, but I didn't know the metrics or really looking at what investment vehicle would look like for me. So it really just started with curiosity. And I think that's really important, whether you're starting out in training or if you're many years in. A lot of us, like you said, don't have the education or knowledge through training, and you just are told to invest into your 401k or IRA. And many of us stop at that, and many of us do just fine with that. So really, it was just staying curious and being open to other possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. What were some resources in the beginning that you used or found really helpful as you were getting started learning more about investing in real estate?
I certainly did not have ChatGPT. I just Googled, honestly, and we're on a podcast now. Podcasts are pretty prevalent, but there was not much towards physicians or certainly most towards real estate investing for physicians. So honestly, I just listened to other podcasts that were already out there talking about real estate. Bigger Pockets is a very popular and a very educational one. So you learn that single families, which is what I thought I had to invest in, go get a single family home. But then I learned there's much more to real estate beyond that. And so it started for me, podcast, books, reading blogs, and just really searching the internet to see what else was out there, because there was nothing really for me or for a doctor.
Yeah, I agree. I think we definitely have the White Coat Investor out there, a lot of great resources there. A little bit less real estate specific. And I think that's probably what helped draw you towards the real estate physician. And I'd love to talk more about that. And certainly me with Physicians and Properties, just found that there's not a whole lot of great or specific real estate education for physicians and how investing in real estate can give you the freedom to practice medicine and live life how you want. And that's our mission here at Physicians and Properties. And it sounds like that's what you're doing with being able to cut back some of these hospitalist shifts due to some real estate investing. Did you get started originally in syndications, or did you start in single family, or what did the start of your real estate journey look
yeah,
like?
Yeah. So yes, my first investment did end up being into a real estate syndication where I put in some money and invested as a limited investor, a passive investor. That was after I looked into single family, and that's when I learned, oh, there's more to right real estate than single family, and learned, okay, there's such thing as apartment syndications. Okay, what is that about? Oh, I can actually invest into one, because I had no idea that I could be an investor in a multi-million dollar apartment, right? So after learning some of the differences and what made one more unique or more fitting for my personality, if you will, mostly lack of time, I didn't want to be active in real estate as a physician, then I put my money into my first syndication investment and have continued to do so ever since.
That's awesome. What a cool way to start. I think there's certainly this graph or continuum of like really active real estate investing and passive real estate investing. And I feel like part of the puzzle is, one, figuring out how active do you want to be or how passive do you want to be? And then what asset class do you want to invest in? And then probably the biggest piece is just getting started in one way or another. I know for me, that first check that I got, that first rent check that I got was just incredible, and I couldn't believe it. And it was just this little oil well that was going to keep pumping, and I had to get more and more of it. And I did start in the single family route, but definitely interested in learning more about syndications. And I feel syndications provide such a great way to passively grow your net worth and get that return on time, which is fantastic to have because we're all busy physicians. And I think that return on time and that passive income definitely helps you become a better physician for your patients and probably a better husband or wife or parent, et cetera. Really cool to hear that's how you got your start and that you've stuck with it. If we were to chat more about syndications or get started, if someone was interested in getting started, how would you tell them to get started, or what is a syndication? Let's just start at the basics, if you don't mind.
I will echo what you just said, because I think that's probably more important than learning terms or different things. But just being a physician, right? Where in the stage of your career are you at? Where in the stage of your family are you at? And your finances? Mm-hmm. And because it really boils out to, I think, when you're talking about return on time, that is so important to us, no matter where you are in your training, by the nature of our work, is really how active and passive you want to be. I think that's a really one of the biggest diverging factors or limitations in considering real estate, and why syndications work, or why a lot of physicians do find an attractive way to invest, is with syndications, you can be a passive investor, right? Meaning you don't have to go on the property. You don't have to change the toilets. You don't have to find the person, the tenant to lease it out to or take care of renovating the kitchen, right? So many people may not have heard the term syndication. It is really just a vehicle, just like your 401k is a vehicle. And so think of it like that. And there's different basically features of the vehicle, right? With your 401k, you're very limited. You can put stocks or invest into stocks or mutual funds through work. And there's only so much you can put in. You have to take so much out at a certain time. Syndication is just pooling of money into purchasing a different kind of asset. In this instance, it's a big property like an apartment building. Why that exists is because most of us can go get a single family rental on our own. You don't need to pool hundreds of investors to do that. So I think when investors look at syndications, that's why you'll see larger properties like a hotel or an apartment building that allows you to pool with other investors the money and have somebody, what we call an operator, who is then actively managing the properties on your behalf. Of course, you have to understand what you're investing into because that's your hard-earned money, but that's really all you're putting into it, that the money and somebody else's time, expertise, experience to run the property. And then for you as an investor to receive some of the benefits, whether through cash flow or profit when we sell the property, along with some of the tax benefits from owning real estate as well, are passed down to you.
There's so much to unpack in what you just said and so much beneficial information. If I were to get started, or someone listening was going to get started investing in syndications, what would they look for? What would you recommend they look for in an operator or in a general partner?
Anybody who's looking into syndication, or let's say you're looking at investment that's trying to get you to invest into apartment, right? One, you just have to, I think, when you're looking at the partner, look at their track record, look at specifically, one, also what asset they invest into. You have syndicators that only do, you know, hotels, right? Or syndicators that only do apartment buildings in San Francisco because that's their niche, right? Or you have, so one, find a syndicator that matches what you would think is a good asset or portfolio of properties for you. For example, you could be the greatest syndicator doing hotels in New York, but I don't think hotels or New York is a good place or time to be investing right now. So even if they're the best, might not be the best for me. Just really, I think a lot of the homework is in advance to know, okay, I would like a stabilized property, for example, that can cash flow and provide returns along the way. Versus I'm okay with a new development project that I don't have any cash flow for 2 to 3 years, but my returns can be greater. And so because you have sponsors along the whole spectrum, just like you have investors along the whole spectrum that focus only on certain properties or only on certain markets, and they have a business plan to carry that out. So one is to really just understand, okay, who makes up this sponsorship team? What kinds of properties do they tend to focus on? Then the offering you're looking at, does that match into what their expertise is? Because you're going to be putting in, for example, $50,000 is a typical investment to a syndication. You want to know you're putting into something that they do over and over again. This is not a new market for them. This is not a new project that they've never done before, for example.
Absolutely. I heard one time that, you know, the best question that you can ask an operator or a general partner who's putting together a syndication is, tell me about a time when you failed and how did you recover from that? Or what did you learn from that? Because we've seen this incredible real estate market over the last 10, 15 years, up until the last couple of years. And we can certainly talk more about where's the commercial market look like? Where's multifamily market look like going forward? And what does it look like right now? But up until that point, a lot of folks only syndicated deals in these really bullish markets. And so I found that was a really helpful question to ask to learn more about, okay, tell me about a time when something didn't go as planned. Do you have any stories like that or any deals that you invested in that maybe didn't necessarily turn out as you planned for it to go?
Yeah, certainly. And honestly, I think this is a great lesson because I've been investing for the past 6-7 years. Mostly a lot of projects in Texas because there's a lot of good markets in Texas where I'm from. So I feel very comfortable, especially the Dallas area where I've grown up. So actually, one of my very first syndication investment was in Dallas into an apartment, actually went really well. But I would say this is the one that failed or I didn't have as great of an experience was from my third investment, also in DFW. Also, you know, what's supposed to be a really good time. So goes back to understanding who your operator is. Just because times are great doesn't mean every deal is going to be great. Or when times are tricky or bad doesn't mean it's not a good time to invest, right? The one poor investment I made was also in an apartment in Dallas, but it was an older property, what we call Class C properties. So probably built in the 60s, much older. And then your tenant profile tends to be riskier. And the operator there, they don't have a lot of scale, meaning they're not owning thousands of units. They have two properties, this one with Solo on its own. And the operations team really was not cohesive, meaning they had 3 to 4 people, but they weren't a whole team. They also had other jobs. And so my lessons from that was really important to find a team that's professional, that has a team built out, ideally that has a lot of scale, which gives them a lot of leverage in their operations and their costs, along with a lot of experience. And so that's what I look for now as an investor in helping other physicians look into syndications, because that was my one investment where I did lose money, even though it was in Dallas, supposedly a great market and at a great time.
Yeah. And that happens certainly. I think for folks listening, if they don't know, you have your A-class markets, which are your really high-end properties. You could picture that where the plastic surgeon, if you will, lives, really nice homes, and the B-class homes, which are still pretty nice, upper middle class. And then you have your C-class homes, which are probably more of your blue collar community. And then your D-class, which is your war zone. Probably want to avoid that. And it sounds like you're invested in the C-class homes. What do you feel like went wrong with that deal? Or what experience was the operator lacking that led you losing some of your investment?
So it was an older property, right? So it started with a water leak, but then it wasn't fixed and become a bigger plumbing issue. Then an apartment gets flooded. So the costs just add up from that. And then usually if you have a smaller operator, they do a third-party property management team, right? Actually, a lot of sponsors, even the bigger ones, will do a third-party property management firm, which handles basically the daily boots on the ground activities. But when you are a smaller operator and you only have one property, your property management team also has to go manage 10, 20, 50 other properties in the same area, maybe for a sponsor that has 20 properties. So where do you think their priorities are when you have only one property and you have a minor issue? So ignore becomes a bigger issue. And when you want to switch a property management company, which the team ultimately decided to do, it doesn't take a week, 2 weeks, 2 months. It takes 6 months, right? And then you make that transition. So all along the way, you have problems adding up, and then tenants moving out. And then you have, again, an older property, tenants more at risk. So if the economy for some reason turns, right, they're going to skip out on paying their rent or be delayed. So those are some of the issues you do deal with when it's an older property or where you have a more risky tenant base.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing a deal that maybe didn't go as planned. I think it's really helpful to learn from our mistakes or learn from just worse outcomes than we were expecting. I had a short-term rental that we bought in Georgia, and similar situation. We got all the inspections and the inspection looked okay, not great. There were still some things that needed to be fixed, but like, okay, no big deal. We were really excited. It was going to be our first short-term rental. We got a septic inspection that looked okay, but not great. We go there for the first time the weekend after we close, and we walk into the basement and there's like standing water in the basement. Clearly it had been flooded multiple times. We ended up having to replace the whole septic system. The roof part of it needed to replace. There was flying squirrels in Georgia. I didn't know this was actually a thing, but there were flying squirrels in the attic that were chewing up all the wiring, and we had to do pest exclusion. I mean, we ended up spending so much money on this deal. Yeah. And luckily, we bought it at a good time pre-COVID, and real estate's fairly forgiving, and we were able to sell it and still make some money. But we learned so much in that deal. It certainly did not go any way how we were expecting it to, but we learned so much going forward that's been so helpful in our real estate journey. And I'm sure that this deal was for you as well.
Oh, most certainly. And I think every investor goes through some version of it, right? And you definitely learn. You won't forget it.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't hit a home run if you never pick up the bat. So you got to swing and miss sometimes, or just hit a single sometimes. Not every deal is going to be a home run. Speaking of home runs, can you tell us about a deal that went really well for you, or your favorite deal or the best deal that you've invested in?
My favorite, I would say, is my first one. I mean, there's definitely been ones where I've had even higher returns than this first one. But since it was my first, it's more memorable, right? I'm from Dallas, so it was a multifamily property in Dallas. I had met the operators, gone to the property before I invested, so I felt very comfortable with the market already. But also having gone and seen it myself, met with the people I was going to invest with, I think that was very helpful, especially for my first investment. And really, I would say it was just a great experience because it pretty much just went according to plan, meaning when you invest into a syndication, you get monthly or quarterly distributions from the cash flow of the property. So I was getting monthly distributions and I was getting like 11, 12% cash on cash back 6 years ago. Now you're not going to find those kinds of investments, but 5, 6 years ago, you could find those. And so I was getting monthly cash flows, never had any issues, and you get monthly updates. And really, honestly, everything just went according to plan. And me being a passive investor as my first experience where, oh, I don't have to be called on anything. I just get a monthly report, property is doing fine. I get money deposited into my bank account like you. And I was like, wow, I didn't have to work for this and I'm getting this. It's not life-changing, but it's pretty amazing. I didn't have to work for this. And then the property ultimately sold and I more than 2x my money in 3 years. And so that was just phenomenal from being a passive investor standpoint and just the experience. So when you were talking about not only return on time, but your return on the experience you have as an investor, because there are a lot of investors who go to syndications. One, it might be a great experience. Like I've had great experiences in terms of returns. If the sponsor doesn't communicate well, things are delayed, I'm not getting timely documentation or updates every month to where I start worrying as an investor, right? Then it's not worth it. And I don't invest with them again because it's not worth it if you're putting $50,000, have to wonder what's going on and have to catch the sponsor, if you will. So another thing just to look out for as an investor is not only what is the investment about, but how do they communicate with you as an investor? How are their communications like? How is their reporting? Because that is a big part of the experience that when it's going well, you don't care about. But when it doesn't go well, that's where you really find the deficit in the market.
Return on experience. I really like that. That's a cool ROE instead of return on equity. We'll change it to return on experience. Yeah, maybe we should get some t-shirts made or something like that.
I'm sure I didn't come up with it, but I think I was thinking about it one day and I thought it was just, as you invest more, it becomes even more and more important because I understand it as investors or first-time investors, you care about your returns. What are the returns? What is my profit? Then you think about, oh, well, what am I actually investing in? And what are the intricacies? And so it's easy to get caught up in that. But the more you invest, the more that experience matters. And that's why it's really important to know who you're investing with, for example.
Yeah. I think you coined that phrase because I haven't heard it before. I really like it. A return on experience. We'll have to use that some more going forward. But that's really cool and a great point. Yeah. I think personally, I would rather give up some returns on investment for a better experience, a better operator, like you said, better communication, just overall less stressful time. I would gladly give up some financial returns for those experiential returns. So I think that's fantastic advice. How did the real estate physician get started for you? And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So one, I could say I never would have thought I would have a company, much less the real estate company, much less raising equity from other investors. And so I would say just generally things I do are pretty organic, meaning I was investing into these syndications for 2 to 3 years already as a passive investor. I continue to learn just because it was part of my personality and being curious and wanting to learn more. So along my own investment or education journey, not only was I a passive investor, but I went to continue to learn and went to workshops, talk to operators, see what else was out there so I could learn, okay, A to Z of what a syndication really is, not only from an investor side, but also what are the sponsors looking at, right? And so then I can know, okay, what are the questions they're asking? What are the red flags if I'm going to invest or if I'm going to do my own deal? Then I know thoroughly A through Z, all the steps, the red flags, the yellow flags, and what to look for. So I had already done that for the past 2 to 3 years. So it just became very natural for me to want to share that knowledge. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed sharing my knowledge. I don't like formally teaching, but I do sharing my knowledge in ways that are helpful to others and helping others make an informed decision, right? So that's what I do exactly as a physician. This just happened to be a different outlet for me that I didn't know would come. And I'm really glad it did. So that's pretty much what the real estate physician is, to help other physicians who have not heard about syndications try to learn as much as possible in a very non-intimidating way, really just trying to be a guide and educate you from what I knew and my experiences. And again, what a lot of physicians will struggle with is not learning about the real estate side. You have plenty of brain cells to definitely digest all that information. But what a lot of physicians struggle with is, okay, then who do I invest with? How can I trust them? Is this a scam or is this too good to be true? Because those are all questions I ask and from experience. A lot of physicians don't have time to go to all these conferences, right? Or go take a course or sit down for every night and learn more and more about real estate. So the whole point is to make it as easy for you as possible to learn about syndications and to guide you through it. And if it's something that makes sense for you, great. We try to do as much of the homework for you as possible, understanding you're busy and it is meant to be a passive investment to then guide you through investments that make sense that we think are done with good operators who have good character, who do have a team built up, who've done this thousands of times so that you don't have to go through that learning mistake.
Yeah, it's a great resource that you provide at therealestatephysician.com. There's even a free book on there, the guide to commercial real estate syndications on there that folks should check out because a lot of great information on there as well. I think you hit a key point. I feel like a lot of times physicians are preyed upon because we do have higher incomes than the majority of the population. And frankly, we have less financial education than the majority of the population. And we come out of residency and go from making pennies to making a much better income. And folks take advantage of that situation. Or as physicians, sometimes we don't do the best job at controlling that lifestyle creep and feel like we need to spend more and more to fit that doctor stereotype. And so I think it's really important to find physicians like yourself who are teaching these things, who have tons of experience, who are doing a lot of the homework for you, and who are most importantly really trustworthy to bring these syndication deals that are worthwhile, that aren't going to take advantage of physicians. So thanks for doing what you're doing.
Oh, no, it's been a blast. And the best part is really just me talking to you like this is connecting with other docs, not to convince you of a deal or not deal, but making sure you're educated. That's how I sleep a lot at making sure you understand exactly what you're investing into, right? You're not being preyed on into investing something that you don't know about. And the whole point is to make sure we're all educated so we can be empowered to make the right decision for ourselves.
Yeah, we're raising money right now for our first deal, assisted living home in Scottsdale. Hopefully we'll be closed on it by the time. Yeah, thank you. Hopefully we'll be closed on it by the time this airs. But it's the first time that our company that we've raised money, and goodness, it was terrifying and is terrifying because we're still going through that process and know it's a great deal and we have a good bit of experience in that space. But just that responsibility of being responsible for other people's hard-earned money definitely makes me a little anxious. Do you have any advice for anyone who's getting started at raising some private equity or raising money for a deal?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So I think, again, is coming from being educational. And so I've never felt like I've had to like ever say, hey, Alex, this is a great deal. You got an investor. Hey, Alex, commercial real estate is where it's at. Or even talking about returns, right? And so I think if you go from it as when you're guiding your patients, right, it's listing out the benefits, the limitations, the risks, understanding where they're coming from so that you're not making a decision for them, but you're helping them make an informed decision, right? So again, I think we're very well equipped to do that. It's just in a different realm. Of course, when you talk about other people's money, there's definitely stress that comes with that. But if you're coming at it where they're making the decision themselves and they feel like they have all of the information, and I'm here to answer all the questions to make sure you have all of the information before you make a decision, I think that's a really helpful mindset to have. And most certainly having your own experience, your own investment, so that you're not telling somebody to go invest into a project that you're not invested into. I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, you got to have some skin in the game is how we look at it. And I like that. I think you're almost describing that patient-centered approach that we all try to have with patients. And sometimes that's difficult in clinic and short appointments, but definitely helpful and worthwhile to really have that patient-centered approach, or I guess in this case, investor-centered approach, where you learn where they're coming from and meet them where they are and see if this investment is a good opportunity for them. What deals are you working on right now?
A lot of my own personal investments or what I'm very much most comfortable with are apartment buildings. And typically they're Class B, what you mentioned in the middle, stabilized properties, meaning they've already been built. They're probably built in the 90s, 2000s now. And so people already live in them and they're already operational. When I think of it from an investor's perspective, what is the risk reward scenario when I go into a stabilized property that's already operating, that people already live in, there's a probably pretty good, decent chance that they're still going to live in it after I invest into the project, right? So there's a very good chance of capital preservation, right? Meaning I'm not going to go lose all of my investment because it's already an operating, basically already a cash flowing operating business, if you will. So you want to think about what is the risk of my capital loss, right? Or capital preservation going into investment, and what is my risk profile for that? And then will it still give me a decent chance for capital appreciation? And when we buy these stabilized buildings, we buy them at a discount. We buy them knowing we can still add value and renovate them. For some reason, the owner's not operating them or has not upgraded these. So we can provide that value, which leads to capital appreciation for investors over time. A stabilized Class B apartment is a very good in-between where your risk reward for capital preservation or absence of capital loss, it still gives your money a chance to appreciate at a decent pace. Most of these you're looking at 20-25% average annualized returns, which is a good reward for putting my money in versus the stock market. Of course, some of the limitations of a syndication, it is a liquid, right? I can't change my mind tomorrow and say I want to sell, but I'm also not going to wake up and lose 30% of my investment for whatever random reason or news event overnight, right? So those are some of the limitations. But overall, again, going back to, okay, what should you look for? What is your risk appetite? And do you need cash flow or do you just care about the overall returns or some other variation?
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I guess that kind of brings up the debate of, for you, cash flow or appreciation. What are you looking for the most?
Honestly, I would say initially I did focus on cash flow because I think 5-6 years ago, that was really great, right? 10 to 12%. And maybe the way I think some of these syndications deals, I think can misleadingly market to people is, hey, look at this, look at the passive income, the cash flow, right? But honestly, right, as a physician, that $300 at the end of the month or whatever is not going to make or break your life, right? But of course it adds up. But I think for me, ultimately is your overall returns, where if you go into thinking, okay, over a 5-year time period, which is where most syndications fly, if I can double my money over a 5-year time period, I'm very happy. That's over 20% average annualized returns again. And then again, as I invested more, is then going back to look at what is my return on experience? How is that 5 years going to go? Because I think new investors, just you need to realize anybody can make projections and say, okay, we'll buy this property and double your money. But what is the probability of them actually getting there? And as I invest more and more, it's not the possibility of a return, but is what is the probability of a return? And then again, why it's so important who you're investing with or what kind of asset, so you know the probability of you actually getting there, if you will. And so I would say a return, overall returns over the 5-year timeline is more important than getting a monthly cash flow, because that's not going to make or break my budget as a physician. But it's for some people, like we have investors who invest for their parents who do depend on that monthly income, then you want to be a lot more selective in the kinds of syndications or how the deal is structured so that you have more probability of depending on that monthly income, if that's what's important for you.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Transitioning towards the end of the episode, how has real estate given you the freedom to practice medicine how you want to and work less shifts as a hospitalist?
It definitely took time. And I think that's important, right? Because I think there's a lot of things saying, oh, real estate, you can retire in a year or in something like that. But it takes time to build up that equity and have a few deals cycle through. But it also doesn't take much in terms of where I can do. It started with, I felt comfortable doing 2 or 3 fewer shifts a month. That's plenty of time comparatively to what I'm used to. But also having the business has definitely helped in building a business. So I think important for other physicians to know is just really focusing on what are avenues where I can divide or separate my time from making money, whether that is through your investments like real estate, which do offer, I think it is, does offer a more lucrative or quicker way than investing, obviously, in savings or having it eroded by inflation or your stock market, where it's just much more volatile, whether that through real estate investing or having your own business can get you there faster because it does help you divide up your time away from how much money you make.
That's great. What is your end goal in terms of how much do you feel like you're going to continue to practice medicine, or how much real estate would it take to practice medicine for however many shifts you're looking for in the future? What's the end goal with real estate for you?
I think that's where I am now, so I don't have an answer. But it's been a really, I would say, confusing transition, if you will, because we're so used to working. And when I'm not working, I feel guilty. I feel like I could just go in for a shift and make that money and invest that. But again, it's the opportunity cost, right? Not only of your money, but of your time again, right? And so right now is where I'm trying to find that very sweet balance, if you will. But again, it is really nice when you can say, okay, I don't have to go in for this shift, or I choose to go in for this shift. You can totally operate from a very different mentality, which is much healthier than the, I think most times we go in, we are burnt out, we are tired. So that's definitely been a really a great position to be in.
Yeah. Has that flexibility or that opportunity made you a better doctor, you feel like?
Well, I definitely do in terms of just, I feel like when I talk to patients, I'm much more patient because I'm just much more patient. I feel like I can spend more time rather than having to rush through things and just being more like comprehensive. We all wish we had more time. Too many patients, too little time. I think it's definitely helped me personally from that aspect.
I know I feel that every day. I definitely long for the day when I have more time to talk with my patients and get to know them and see less of them. But I do really love seeing patients and in the patient care. But I think that we've turned at least outpatient medicine into more of a numbers game and just seeing as many patients as possible to make more income for whatever practice we're working for. And I think I could talk for a long time about some things that I think would be beneficial. But yeah, I'm really very much looking forward to that flexibility and having some freedom to practice medicine how I want to and spend more time with patients. And I'm really excited that you're there and able to do that through investing in real estate. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. You'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Looking forward to it, but enjoying the journey along the way. One question I like to ask folks at the end is just what's some advice you'd give a new intern who's just getting started, or what's the best piece of advice that you've received?
Man, what advice would I give? I would say stay curious, right? Because again, you don't have that training, or you don't, maybe they have it now, right? But we had no financial education, right, through our training. So I would say stay curious, because again, if it's anything, what I went through is you have a 401k, but nobody even told you about that, right? And you think that's safe, right? Because that's what you know. And real estate is classified as an alternative investment, right? So you might think, oh, alternative is bad, it's risky. It's not, because so many people invest into it, actually. It's just not something we are taught traditionally. So I would say just stay curious and really educate yourself. Now there are so many resources. There's tons of physician podcasts or people out there doing real estate or other businesses. So stay curious, because I think there's a lot more physicians doing things outside of medicine and willing to share and talk about it. One, stay curious, get educated. And two, there's always some ahead of you who's done what you want to do. So just reach out to them. I think most of us in this field are very eager and happy to help and share from our experiences or failures without having an alternative motive. So I think that's probably the best, because you can also get overwhelmed because there's so much information out there. And how do you take that next step? Find something that you're interested in that somebody else is already doing. And they probably have a lot of things they can share with you, so you can avoid those mistakes or say 3 months of studying and just get right to it. I would say that's probably advice, not advice, right? Because everyone's different. And I hate to give out like concrete advice, meaning go read this book or invest into real estate. But that's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that advice, being curious, finding someone who's a step ahead of you, who's going to pull you up to where they are, that's way better advice than reading a specific book. So really appreciate that. And I think you're a great resource for folks who are getting started or interested in investing in real estate, learning more about syndications. How can people find out more about you?
So the website is therealestatephysician.com. If you sign up there, I talk to every one of our investors that signs up. We connect, schedule a call. Again, I would say very casual, informal call, meaning it's just a chance for me to get to know you and you get to know me. And I pretty much just answer all of your questions on syndication, so you can actually just get it out of the way. Again, the book you mentioned is free and it's available. So it's meant to be a guide to where, hey, if you have 2 hours to sit down one of these days, you can get through it. And at least it's not meant to be so complicated. It's meant to be a primer, a good foundation, not to be so complicated where you get lost in the weeds. And at least say, okay, after I read this, okay, syndication makes sense. I think it does make sense for me. Or okay, if I read this and I know this is not the investment for me, you've just saved yourself a lot of money from investing into the wrong deal. That doesn't make sense for you. But sign up on the website, connect with me, and happy to share more resources or just help you guys who are looking at a syndication.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, lots of great resources on your website. The book's incredible. We'll put some links to that in the show notes as well if folks want to look there. Wow, great episode. I feel like we talked about this before. It was going to go way too fast, and it definitely did.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have to have you back on sometime. And I really appreciate your time tonight. So thanks for joining us.
Most definitely. Good luck with your journey, and we'll look to stay in touch for sure.
Great. Awesome. With that, it's been Dr. Cherry Chin and Dr. Alex Schlow with another episode of the Physicians and Properties Podcast signing off. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to this, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this podcast is to help 100,000 physicians learn how investing in real estate can give you the freedom to practice medicine and live life how you want. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you can please leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 to 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the physicians that we want to reach. Thanks in advance, and talk to you on the next episode. Please note that the information shared on this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered financial or medical advice. The views expressed on this podcast are those of the host and the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Defense or the United States Air Force.